You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 193 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, April 8th of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook. Despite the rumors from last week, I was not AFK. Well, I was AFK, but it wasn't for like no reason where I just disappeared. I had plans.
You disappeared to us, J.R.
I told you about my plans, guys. Come on.
Recall this. I was pretty sure you were dead.
No.
Fake news.
Yeah. I was like 99% sure you were dead.
Despite the rumors to the contrary, my death was greatly exaggerated. So.
This time.
It will happen someday, but that day is not today.
We'll just think you're joking. You're like, haha, nice try, JR. You're not dying in the hospital.
Yeah.
Nice one, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. That's
man. Well, these two knuckleheads, you know them both. All the way from New Hampshire, where I have a nice little New Hampshire fact, where New Hampshire became the home of the first ever known case of an alien kidnapping in 1961.
Whoa.
They even have a historical marker at the so-called abduction site.
No way. That's awesome.
Where is this?
I'm going to see this. Where is that?
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. It's Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. It says Portsmouth. Oh,
Jesus. It's pronounced Portsmouth.
But it says it's Portsmouth.
Oh, man.
Just try to get Jared to pronounce Worcester. He'll definitely.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
But yeah, we've got Mr. Danny Donuts over there, and just getting back from dropping the kids off at the pool. We got Ray C.
Wait,
how's it going, guys?
I don't have any kids.
That's a euphemism for pooping.
Why would I drop kids in a pool? That's so mean.
Dropping the Browns off at the Super Bowl?
Well, unless they can swim, and then we're just going for like a nice summer day, and they're just having fun in the pool. That's not mean. It's pretty nice, actually.
How have you guys been, man? It's been a couple weeks. Last time I was on here was with Bloody Face, and that was awkward.
Wait, the kids are my poop.
Dude, come on. you just now are getting that. Come on. Like, so
I dropped them in the toilet.
So we have thousands of listeners, Ray. Thousands.
And every single one of them
got this like 2 minutes ago, and then it's you.
Okay, I understand. I get the joke. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Wait, why was Bloody Face awkward? I love that joke.
I know, it was the way that JR started the episode about poop.
I made it awkward. Just like I'm making this episode awkward. I made it awkward.
You know what? You know, you gave us a New Hampshire fact. I'm gonna give us a poop fact.
Oh,
here we go. So there's currently a medical procedure called a poop transplant, where you transfer the bacteria and poop from one person to another, and it helps some bowel diseases.
What?
There we go. Poop fact for you. It's called a poop transplant.
What? Okay, we need to stop doing this on the show, guys. I'm ending this right now. We're done. We're not doing this ever again.
That was the last time. That was the last.
That's it. We're done.
It's the funny part is that you start it every single time.
Yeah, right? Like, you think it'd be us.
I know. I start it, and then you guys just roll with it.
Like, there were no issues last week.
It just rolls downhill from there. It's like a snowball. It's like a poop snowball.
Oh, gosh. All right. We're done now. Okay. Well, yeah.
So, Hearthstone.
Me and Danny, we went to a fireside. I was about to say last night, but I meant to say yesterday. But it all starts to melt together when you just play open cups, even when you're at the Cheesecake Factory.
Like, that was hilarious. He signed up on his iPad, and like this guy next to us was eyeing us the entire time.
Yeah. I was just talking about like life and Hearthstone and like playing on my iPad, like the waitress coming over taking our order. I'm just like, hold up, ma'am, I gotta kill command this guy's face. Excuse me. Like it was pretty funny, but we went to a pre-release and we got to meet some people like Wicked Good, who does his own podcast, which is oh my god, what is this podcast? I'm gonna have to go on Twitter.
Oh man, Ray, you've got to be prepared for this stuff, man.
Off curve. It's called Off Curve.
There you go.
I have a bad memory when it comes to like names of anything. Like I remember faces really well. It's same with cards. Like I know what every single card in Hearthstone and Pokemon and any other card game I've played does, if by the picture, but I don't know the names of like the majority of cards. When I was casting Tespa, like if you go back and if they somehow have that save somewhere and you watch that, it is embarrassing. I didn't even know the name of Call to Arms when it was 4 mana. Like I just forgot the name of Call to Arms and I just said like bring on the dudes or something.
Bring on the dudes.
I just couldn't remember the name. I was like,
this guy's about ready to play 4 mana, bring on the dudes.
Play the 6 mana Dire Maul.
No, that's actually like what happens. I just call everything in Hunter Dire Maul. I don't know why. I just don't know the names of cards.
Yeah.
And I just name them whatever comes into my brain, except for some reason with Hunter every single time it's Dire Maul. Maybe I'm just like trying to like say it so much that I'll eventually draw it on turn one at some point. And that's, you know, have you ever heard of that thing where you're like, you talk it into like, you know what? Never mind. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I'm just wondering how this Fireside Gathering went. That's what I've been wondering.
Oh, that was a fun time.
Yeah. What do you think, Danny? What do you think?
It was good. We got to open up our packs, got to play a little bit of the new expansion. I really liked the element of being there with other people and seeing all the fun things that happened throughout the games. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the pre-built decks a lot more than I thought I would. And that's what we played. Like, they didn't have any idea what they were doing. So like we said before, it was kind of
this was at like a Microsoft store, right?
Yeah, it was at a Microsoft store. So they had no idea what formats are or anything like that. So we just used the pre-constructed Cavern Brawl thing or Fireside Brawl or whatever it is called with the new deck recipes. And that was actually it was really fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I was bummed that I didn't get to go to ours here in Kansas City. I had some stuff come up yesterday and wasn't able to get to go. And Sam does such an amazing job with his Fireside Gatherings in Kansas City. Like, he's one of the best innkeepers like ever, in my opinion. And so it's been a while since he's done a Fireside Gathering, so I really wanted to go, but I didn't get a chance to. But instead they did something different this time where they allowed you to kind of do a Fireside Gathering on your own, like at your house if you wanted to. And I thought that was really cool. I was able to sign up and open up a Fireside Gathering at my house where I was the only person attending, just so I could open my packs. That was the whole reason I did it. I just wanted to go in and open my packs. And you guys opened all yours, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Did you notice, like, I don't know if it's just me or from what I've been seeing, did you guys notice that, like, it seemed like you'd get a lot more legendaries this time around?
Nope. I had the opposite feeling, actually.
Yeah, right. Mine was fairly subpar.
All right.
Yeah.
I opened 130 packs, and I came up with 10 legendaries, and two of them were golden.
Oh, wow. I did get a golden Rafam. Rafam, right? I'm not dumb. That's what it's called.
Yep, you got Rafam. Yep. I think I got 6 or so, and I was like, 6 is okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. Out of how many? 130 or so, or what?
Yeah, 130.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just did both the pre-orders, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's...
it was fun. It was a good time. I mean, I'm excited to hopefully have more local events. I just have a feeling it won't happen, but I hope that they actually have some type of, like, tournaments or something. Like a state level or a... that kind of thing, because they always
even if they did it like once, maybe like once a month or once a quarter or something, they did some big event where everyone just got together. Even if you're not playing in a tournament, I bet a lot of people would go to it if it's just like, all right, this one weekend we're doing Hearthstone in New Hampshire and we're gonna do it for this weekend, people come down. Like, that would be really cool if you could make something like that.
Maybe they can do it there in Portsmouth.
god! Oh my god!
Right next to the alien abduction pole.
Yeah.
Yep. I do want to go there now.
Yeah. It's literally just going to be a pole somewhere.
Probably.
It was Betty and Barney Hill were the ones that were supposedly abducted by extraterrestrials and taken into a UFO.
So, any relation to Hank Hill?
I was thinking any relation to Benny
Hill. More than likely.
I was thinking Benny Hill more than anything.
Who's he's the guy who made that like chicken dance song when people like whenever you see one of those things and
Yakety
it's
like that.
Yeah, Yakety Sax, that's what it is.
Yep.
So I bet that that was the theme song that the aliens played when they abducted the people.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we got a lot of news and stuff to talk about, so we should probably hop on over to that.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
First of all, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. He's the one that's helping sponsor our news for this week. If you want to be a legend of the show or help out at the show in any way, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Hoping next week, I know I said this like last week or maybe the week before. I just need to sit some time down this week. I have some ideas on some cool stuff we can do with the Patreon. And hopefully next week, I'm able to kind of talk about it. But speaking of the show a little bit, we do have a small little announcement to make. As you notice, we are on episode 193, which means we're getting closer to episode 200, which is a pretty big deal in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Yeah. So we have some guests that are that will be coming on the show that our longtime listeners should recognize. So at the end of this month, at the end of April, right after Worlds, the week after Worlds, we'll be having Robert Wing on the show. He was never on Well Met, but he was on the precursor to Well Met, which was called the Hearth Pro Show. He was one of the co-hosts on that. In fact, if we had included the Hearth Pro Show in our numbering system, we'd be coming up to episode 250. They had actually done 50 episodes before us. So we're going to bring him on to episode 196, probably talk about Worlds and what he's been up to. Episode 197, we're going to bring on Tannen Grace. He was a co-host there for a little bit. He's been doing a lot of stuff over in the Magic the Gathering pro scene, so it'll be kind of cool to hear from him. Episode 198, we're going to bring back one of the OGs, Kevin Hovdestad. He will be back for episode 198. And then episode 199, we're going to bring on John, as many of you will probably remember him as well as one of the original cast members. And then episode 200, we're going to have something a little bit special. We're not going to announce it. We're going to surprise you guys with episode 200. So pretty excited about this. I'm pretty excited to hear from a lot of these guys. So.
The guys I listened to when I was not on the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever actually got to talk to Rob Wing on the podcast or even Kevin. Like, I don't think I ever actually talked to Kevin over a voice chat.
Mm. Yeah, because you kind of came on after he had already left. Or you would come on when he was gone for a show.
Yeah, that's pretty much when I feel like that's when John would have me come on the show. Was like, I did one really early on with like Jocelyn from Angry Chicken or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And that like Kevin wasn't there for that one, and then there was a couple other ones too.
Yeah.
But that'll be cool to see.
No, Robert's one of my really good friends. He was with BlizzPro from almost the very beginning, like a month after we had launched the website, and to see him go from a no name to then becoming a bigger name and then working at Blizzard, now no longer working at Blizzard, it's a pretty cool story. He has, and with it being like right after Worlds and his background in esports, I think he'll have a pretty good perspective on things.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. How long has this whole journey taken? Time wise,
the podcast, we started it in, I want to say, March of 2015, so a little over 4 years now.
Oh my god, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, because Kevin and I were at PAX East in 2015, and we had already been talking about the show for about a month before then, and we had just already gotten John and gotten him to be a co-host with us, and I think we launched the show a week or two after PAX East of that year.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So Black Rock Mountain had just been announced. So we'll talk a lot more about that stuff.
Didn't you guys get a card in BlackRock? Or no, that was Whispers.
Whispers of the Old Gods, we did, yes.
Yeah. That was, it was Ravenous Ghoul.
Yep, it was Ravenous Ghoul.
Such a good card, man. Yep. Like, that's still run today and wild. That's nuts.
Yep. So on to the next item. This is just a nice little footnote, and I need to play some music. Need to play some music for this, guys. So yesterday was April 7th, and that was Mike Morhaime's last day at Blizzard. Just kind of sad. So he left as president a while back, but then he was going to just stay on the board. And then he decided, nope, I'm going to go cry in my money instead and leave Blizzard altogether. So that's pretty sad. Mike Morhaime no longer with Blizzard. And it's fitting that tomorrow we release Rise of Shadows. So there you go.
Mike Morhaime leaves in the rise of the shadows.
The shadows rise.
The shadows rise.
Begin.
So,
what if all of the new artwork for Rise of the Shadows, like the five bosses, are actually just like caricatures of the head bosses of Activision? Has anybody?
Yeah. So Cogwaggle is for sure Bobby. What's
Bobby Cockface? Bobby Cockface.
Oh my god. Yo. Hearthstone Conspiracies Part 2.
We're putting out that Hearthstone Conspiracies video sometime.
We really do need to do that. That would be amazing. There's so many good ones that we have.
Yeah. There are some good ones. All right. So I just wanted to state that because I thought it was an interesting footnote in Blizzard's history. Let's see. So the next thing we want to talk about, as we said, Rise of Shadows releases tomorrow. It'll probably already be out by the time you hear the show. So I'm not going to go into spiel on when things are releasing, what times or whatever, because you should already be playing Rise of Shadows by the time you hear this. Just going off of when I know that this will probably get edited and out to the public. It'll probably be sometime tomorrow. It probably won't be tomorrow morning. So we wanted to talk about a little bit about some of our top cards and maybe going into what decks we're scared of, what decks we think are going to be good, all of that stuff that we're going to maybe expect tomorrow and into these next couple weeks. So Ray, do you want to start us off with this a little bit?
Yeah. So the top five cards.
So these are the top five cards that you're most excited about, right?
Yeah. That I am personally excited about. I'm going to be trying these out pretty early on in my streams that I want to do. But the first thing, the very, very first card, very first deck I'm going to try is going to be some type of mage deck with my favorite card of the set, which is Power of Creation / Sun Reaver War Mage. Power of Creation is the 8 mana mage spell that says, discover a 6 cost minion, summon 2 copies of it. Whether or not you have this in combination with Khadgar, I think either way, it's actually an incredibly powerful card. You're getting 12 mana worth of stats for 8 mana, and the fact that you can get multiple insane death rattles like Cairn, I actually looked at all the 6 drops that you can get, and since it's discovered, you can only get mage 6 drops, and the neutral 6 drops, there's actually I don't know the exact percentage, but it's insanely high to get a taunt. There are a lot of 6 drop taunts right now, once the rotation happens, which I guess, well, by the time you're listening to this, it would have already happened. So currently there's a lot of 6 drop taunts and just high value 6 drops. So it's now, really difficult.
And most
to
of
whiff.
Those are 6 drop neutrals, right? Because the 6 drop mage cards are not that good.
No, but luckily there is not really many of them at all. There's Arcanosaur, and there's Meteorologist, and there's Toki Time Tinkerer. And that's really it. And obviously those are terrible, but I mean, the neutral ones are all really powerful for the most part. And you also just have the potential to get something like Argent Commander or Reckless Ocketeer and kill them out of nowhere.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, that's going to be good for like those slower control decks. Like if somebody builds a priest deck, Warriors were actually teching in Leeroy because they already played Faceless in the specialist format, because like one way to be priest is to just Leeroy Faceless, hit him for 12 and kill him. That was like a big problem people found themselves struggling with against priest in on the ladder, and I think that this deck will also struggle against slower control decks and priests and stuff like that. And the fact that you can just go Khadgar Power of Creation and just kill them out of nowhere with, it's not even that crazy of a percentage either. Like, the odds of you hitting them is like probably around like 5% or something. It's, which is obviously not good. Like, you're not, your plan is not to get that every time or anything. You're just trying to get value out of the card. But the fact
that you play to your out sometimes, yeah. Like, you now that you know that's an option, right? You can play to, all right, I'm dead unless I hit my charge minions. Let's go. Like, that's always an out now.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then the other one that I mentioned that was a mage card was a Sunreaver War Mage, which is, in my opinion, the best card of the set. At least for Big Mage, I guess, since I'm on the Big Mage hype train as always. So to me, it's the best card in the set. It's a 5-mana 4/4 that says battle cry. If you're holding a spell that costs 5 or more, deal 4 damage. So basically, it's always a 5-mana 4/4 that has battle cry, deal 4 damage, which is pretty insane to me. That's like, that's just so good. That is so good. I think it's the best card in the set for me.
It's not just a mage card, by the way. It is a neutral. So at least in Wild, like, that's gonna be very strong in Druid, because Druid's missing a lot of 5-drops. I mean, you can play or whatever the Arcane Tyrant, but I'd rather be able to just go through and like play that on turn 5 and kill a minion.
Yeah. So those two cards, that's gonna be my first deck that I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try some type of big mage. Then I really want to try something with Varisa Windrunner. This is the third card on my list. It is the Hunter Legendary that gives you a weapon. I don't know what the weapon's called. It's called Thoridal, the Star's Fury. It's a 2/3 weapon. And whenever you attack with it, you get +2 spell damage. And Varisa's 7-mana 5/6 Hunter Legendary minion. But the weapon synergizes really well with a card called Rapid Fire, which I think is going to be pretty much a staple in Hunter. I think that the card is getting underrated because it's just like a common twin spell, deal 1 damage. It's like very underwhelming. It's not something that's exciting, but a lot of the best cards in the game aren't really exciting. Like, I think Diremole and Firefly are probably some of the best cards ever printed for the game, and they're just common minions. Like, nobody really cares about them when they do a set review because they're not exciting. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Rapid Fire's in a similar way. And Varisa is going to offer you a new archetype where you're just going to try to burn them out. Like, you're going to play Varisa next turn. You're going to hit them with the weapon, get +2 spell damage. You're going to like rapid fire their face and play some other spells. There's Marked Shot, which will help you clear minions and stuff like that. And then you discover another one, another spell. You have Kill Commands, all that good stuff. So I'm pretty excited to try that. I don't necessarily think it's going to be good, but I think it has potential. I think it's something that people are really sleeping on. And I would not be surprised if it becomes a meta deck. The fourth card on my list is the Forest Aid. This is the 8-mana Druid twin spell card that summons 5/2/2 Treants. I don't know if Treant Druid is going to be good, but I really hope it is, because this card is one of the best cards that I think Druid's gotten in a while. It might seem a little bit underwhelming, but you have Savage Roar still. You're always going to have Savage Roar. You have Power of the Wild. You have a lot of buff effects. And those 5/2/2s.
Yeah, that Blessing of the Ancients now, too.
That's true. All those 2/2s are just threats. Like, if they don't deal with that, they're always afraid they're just going to get Savage Roar and killed. So that's 2 board states you get from 1 card, since it has Twin Spell, that your opponent has to answer or they're just going to die. And you have Scenarios as well. So, like, you have that on 8, Scenarios as a threat on 9. Like, even if you don't have Savage Roar or Scenarios or anything, your opponent still has to deal with them because they're afraid of dying. It's kind of like just having a medium-sized board as any Druid deck that plays Savage Roar, honestly. And you have Mulch Muncher, which is one of my favorite cards from the Boomsday, which is, I think it's like 10-mana or 9-mana, 8/8 rush mech that gets cheaper with every Treant that died.
Right.
So we're losing living mana, but we're gaining so many cool Treant cards like Forest Aid that even without ramp and stuff, we got a lot of early game. We got Acorn Bearer. We have some cool like Dreamway Guardians, which just summons 2 minions. Like, there's cool token druid cards. And I think that getting to 8-mana, like, it might not be that hard. Like, you might actually be able to make a good druid deck out of this. And Druid got the best draw card of the whole set, which is Crystal Song Portal. It's discover druid minion. If your hand has no minions, keep all 3. So it's like a master's call, but slightly worse because you discover them instead of draw them for your deck. But you also can play minions in your deck, which means like you can just play the minions, right? Like you, if you have Acorn Bear, you just play it, and then if you draw minions later on in the game, like they're all going to be cheap costed minions, so you just play them, and then you discover three druid minions, which seems really powerful to me. And people aren't talking about these cards that much, and I think that's kind of weird. I think these cards are really powerful, and people are sleeping on them.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Heist Baron Togwaggle, which everybody's talked about that card to death. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm excited for it just because I love the treasures. I played a lot of Marin Druid, Marin the Fox. It was pretty fun. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing with the treasures, so I'm just kind of excited for that. But
yeah, I'm pretty excited for that one too.
Those are my top five cards.
Yeah.
What about you?
You have several that I would have picked as well. Like, I'm pretty excited for Power of Creation. Obviously, my list is different because I didn't want to pick same thing that you guys had picked, but I'm really excited for Power of Creation, and I'm excited for Heist Baron Togwaggle, for sure.
I'm really excited about Varisa Windrunner. There's going to be some nuts combos in Wild with Varisa. Like, spell damage is going to be really good in Hunter, especially when you have cards like Quickshot. Like, that just makes the deck so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so should I jump in with my five cards that I like?
Yeah, let's do your five cards. Hashtag my five cards.
Yeah, my five cards. All right, so my first card is Geppetto Joybuzz, which is the 8-mana 6/6, draw two cards, and then they have the 1/1 for one effect. They become 1-mana 1/1s, and it's going to be, like, this card, at least from a Wild perspective, right? Like, this doesn't push any combo deck that currently exists in Wild over the top, but it brings so much support to so many really fringe decks that I'm really excited to see what happens with it. I think that there is a lot of potential with it. It might be driving what is the combo decks in Standard, but I'm really excited to see what impact it has on Wild. It's going to be it's probably one of the stronger cards of the set, just from a Wild perspective. Mm-hmm. But I bet you guys have the inverse feeling. You might put it on, you might not like that.
Yeah, put on the my five least excited.
Yep. So my second card is Swamp Queen Hagatha. 7-mana, 5/5, battle cry, add a 5/5 horror to your hand, teach it two shaman spells. So this is like the Kazakis for shaman. Like, in any shaman deck that's not an aggro deck, you're going to run this. And you might even run this in, like, non-even aggro shaman, just like that you used to run Dr. Boom in the things, because the horror is going to be really strong. I really like this card. It's not going to be as consistent in Wild, but you're going to have to, I think this is like a have to play type thing in shaman. This is going to be like really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to mess around with Hagatha, but I don't know, I feel like everybody is going to be playing Murloc shaman, and everybody is going to be trying, like, gravitate towards shaman because they got so many good cards. Yep. And I feel like people are sleeping on a lot of the other cards, or they just, like, kind of are fixated on the classes that got really good cards.
Yeah, people are really fixated on shaman being, like, super good right now.
And I don't want to be, like, one of those people that also just jumps on the bandwagon, because I know there's going to be, like, a lot of streamers that are just going to build Murloc shaman and play that. I want to try to find the stuff that I think is cool that people are missing. I feel like you gotta be unique somehow, you know? So I'm probably not gonna try out shaman for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so my third card that I like is 9 Lives, the hunter spell, 3-mana. Discover a friendly death rattle minion that died this game, also trigger its death rattle.
That card is going to be so bonkers.
So the card is going to be nuts. The one question for Standard is there support for the card? That's why it can be printed in Standard, at least, because I don't believe you have that many, like, ridiculously busted death rattles. Like, the best card you can get off of this in Standard is High Main, which in itself, like, get another High Main in your hand and summon 2/2 hyenas is very strong. But like in Wild, you're going to be able to run some ridiculous things. Like, Sneed Shredder is probably going to be a card in Hunter now. It's a Hunter card at this point. Like, if you play just a Death Rattle Hunter, running Sylvanas or any other really strong Death Rattle, this is going to be, like, one of the most busted cards you'll see. This may actually push Reno Hunter into viability as, like, not a tier 4 deck, but something like tier 2 or tier 3.
Yeah,
that's how strong I think this is.
Yeah, Sylvanas with this would be so awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
I wish Sylvanas was still in standard.
I love that card. Death Rattle Hunter would have been a little bit too good.
No. No. Why would you say that? Sylvanas was not that powerful of a card. Come on. There's no reason it went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
No, none at all. None at all. All right, continue, yep. Danny.
All right, so the fourth card I have is Magic Carpet, the 3 mana 1/6. After you play a 1-cost minion, give it +1 attack and rush. And now this card is going to allow for a lot of the token decks that have had trouble seeing consistency in wild actually stick. So I think something like Token Druid, which has been dead for a fairly long time, with the support that it's getting in this set, is actually going to be able to see play with Magic Carpet, because you're playing a lot of 1-drops. You're probably playing Hobgoblin in that deck. And then Magic Carpet
Hobgoblin.
So Hobgoblin's going to be sick. And Magic Carpet is essentially one of the biggest issues you run into Hobgoblin decks is that if you hit your Hobgoblin and then your 1-drops, you win the game. But you only have 2 copies of the card in your deck. And odds are you don't get it until you're halfway through your deck. I think that Magic Carpet is going to be a pseudo... kind of like the same exact function of a card. It's like a 3-drop on turn 4 that you play, and then you synergize with a 1-drop and make it a little bit stronger. So I think that Magic Carpet is going to really push Token Druid in wild. I think that that deck may be good. I mean, to be fair, though, we still have to deal with all the ridiculous board clears that has been pushing it out for a while, like Hellfire and Defile. So that's the main reason why you haven't seen Token Druid in a while. But I think that giving your like tokens rush is something that you really lack in Token Druid. Like a lot of the times if you're playing against a Paladin, right, you'll be even on board for a significant amount of time. But as soon as you lose board, like you're done. Game's over. You're not going to be able to come back because you're not running swipe in that deck because it's too slow. Like I think that Magic Carpet is something that'll allow you to come back against a lot of the token style decks that are already in the format. And I think that this is really going to push Druid forward. I'm really excited to try this card.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, and
this definitely doesn't excite me as much, but I can see it being exciting and wild.
Yeah. And then my last card is Call to Adventure, which is the Paladin 3-mana spell. Draw the lowest cost minion from your deck and give it +2/+2. There is a archetype that's been circling around in the wild metagame that's been theorycrafted a bit, Big Paladin. And then being able to go through and tutor for some of your some of the cards to be able to get them on curve, being able to play this card and then pull a Barnes from 3 to 4 is just nuts. So I think Call to Adventure is going to help facilitate some of the big Paladin archetype that people have been talking about. And like, I think this may be a thing.
That's gross.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because basically you're getting 2 more Barnes at that point.
Yeah, well, they also have that in Hunter, too. Just the interaction that people might not have been able to see for a while is that Master's Call is a tutor in Hunter for Barnes as well, where you play Master's Call and then you play 3 minions like Barnes, Malagos, and Yashiraz or something. And then you play Master's Call, draw your Barnes, and then you're able to Barnes into one or the other. So, like, that... They're putting a lot of tutor effects into the game that you like tutor effects just should not be downplayed at all when you're looking at wild. And so you got to look at the cards for their actual effect rather than the text on their card. You got to infer what it says.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that might not be seen by everyone.
Right.
But this is going to be very strong in wild. Yeah. Even if you can't find something right now, this is going to have a lasting impact in the format at some point.
Yeah, because this basically, you can change the card text for this in wild and say, draw Barnes and play them on curve.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, like, what card, like, there's really no standard card anymore that's just like, if you get this, you are so highly favored that it's ridiculous. It doesn't really exist right now, I don't think.
Just give it time. It'll exist.
True.
Give it time. Yeah.
I don't want it to, so I guess I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. No, that's a pretty good list. You had a couple things that, like, I'm excited for Hagatha. I'm excited for 9 Lives. Your next 2, they're more wild.
I think that
wild.
Magic Carpet's going to see play in standard. I think that that's going to be, I think Ray was the person who's talking to me about it being in Zoo.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can see that. That wouldn't be too bad.
Also, lackeys are good.
Can also get rid of Geppetto and get that out of here. Get that out of here.
I'm just excited because it's not going to be the thing that's driving combos in Wild, whereas it may be driving that for you guys.
All right. Yeah. So, moving on to my top five cards and cards I'm going to probably play with tomorrow and see what I can do. When I saw this card, I was super excited about it. Like, this is probably one of the best cards in the set. I still believe it is. And that's the Madame Lazul, the priest legendary, 3 mana, 3/2 of discover with or battle cry, discover a copy of a card in your opponent's hand. Priest may not be that good coming into this set, but that's one of those cards that just feels like you have to add it to your deck. Like, it gives you so much information and just also just gives you a small advantage. I've been wanting to see a card like this since the beginning of Hearthstone, and now we finally have it.
Camellios came close.
Yeah. It was
just bad.
And Glimmer Root was closest but it was also not as good as this. The second card I'm kind of excited about, and you guys probably aren't because you already talked about, I'm going to see Murloc decks. Toxfin, the little common Murloc that could. What was his stats? I'm trying to remember. He's just a one drop, right?
Yeah,
he's
a one drop. One two.
It gives a friendly Murloc poisonous. I mean,
Kurt's insane.
Yeah, just basically, you know, drop some Murlocs down early, and someone drops a freaking Mountain Giant or something, or Sea Giant, or any kind of giant, and you're just like, nah, I'll kill it with this little 1/1 with poisonous.
Like, just imagine how frustrated you got when you played a Mountain Giant and then your opponent just goes Crackling Razor Maw on their Spring Paw into poisonous.
Yeah.
Well, now they don't even need to like high roll.
Right.
Now they just have it. Like, yep. You just know that your big minion is just gonna die.
Yep.
To be fair though, the high roll factor was definitely part of the annoyance, where it's like, oh, there's a 33% chance they'll have it. Whereas at least now you can be like, all right, this guy's playing a Murloc deck. He's going to be running this card. I can play around it a little bit more successfully.
That's true.
But still,
it's still disappointing. It's still going to feel bad. It's still going to feel bad. I'm not going to lie, but I don't feel it. It's as tilting when you know the card exists.
Yeah. Next card, I'm not 100% sure. Like, there's a lot of hype around this card being pretty good, and I don't know if I see it. I just see it as fun. And that's the legendary, the neutral legendary, Archivist Alciana. I believe that's how that's pronounced. It's the 8 mana, 7/7 of a battle cry. You discover 5 cards and replace your deck with 2 copies of each. And that just sounds amazing. Like this is really good in like a control lineup. It's gonna make Ray hate open tournaments even more.
It is on my least excited list, so.
it's a direct counter to Hekar, so, which I don't know if that's going to see much play anymore anyway. But I don't know. It's also a direct counter to the stupid Bomb Warrior as well, which surprises me. Because it was like, oh, the Bomb Warrior might be a thing. No, it's not going to be if this card's a thing.
Well, so that's, I like how they printed it that way. I like when Blizzard prints really strong synergies into a set, but they also provide the answers to it. Yeah. Where it self-regulates the meta, where if something gets way out of control, like let's say if Bomb Warrior was one of the best decks, like hands down, it was ridiculous. It's not, but if it, let's say just for some happenstance, they printed a bunch of really strong cards, all of a sudden you can start teching in things to answer that. I like the ability to counterplay within the same set.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, but like you said, I don't think Bomb Warrior was going to be a big threat anyway. So it feels bad that if you're excited about it, people might be playing this in their control decks. So, but yeah. What were you going to say, Ray?
This card is going to make my Open Cup experience worse.
Yep.
But hopefully it's bad.
See, I don't see it as that good, to be honest. I see it as fun.
It's not that good until you're playing like a warrior deck or a control deck, and then you play against another control deck and they had the same idea as you, and now you're both just like sitting there
just anti-fatigue,
armoring up,
yeah,
forever, yeah. infinitely.
Yep.
And then you get 10 new cards.
Yep.
So you can armor up for 10 more turns.
Yep.
And then you hit the turn limit.
And then you do it all over again because there aren't ties in the game.
Right.
I actually don't know what would happen if that happened. Like, if you just kept hitting the turn limit, like, what would they do? Would they just DQ both players? That's crazy.
Isn't the rule armor?
The rule is armor.
Whoever has the most armor.
But what if they had the same armor?
I don't know. They'll coin flip it. Blizzard loves coin flips, so they'll literally go to a coin flip.
I think they should just ban all warrior players.
That's the solution. Just ban
dishonorable warrior players.
Yep. The next card I'm excited about is Plot Twist, and I don't know if this card's going to be that good. I'm just excited for the fact that it's just the idea of, man, I'm not getting my draws. Crap. Okay, I have 5 or 6 cards in my hand. I'm digging for an answer. I'm going to play Plot Twist, and maybe I'll get the answer on the next draw. But at the same time, I feel bad for playing this card because it's like, well, I'm playing this card thinking that I'm going to get screwed. And usually when you have cards that you play because you think you're going to get screwed, they're not really good cards. So
I actually don't necessarily think that way about this card because it has a lot of synergy with some of the other cards in the set, like Aranasi Broodmother. Mm-hmm. I don't actually have any idea how you pronounce that, but I was close enough, I think. It's the 4/6 Taunt Demon. Whenever you draw this, restore 4 health to your hero. So now, all of a sudden,
yeah,
when you Plot Twist, you could just restore 4 to 8 health, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Being able to just, like, get a new hand and then all of a sudden restore your health. And you have Fellord Betrug. Whenever you draw a minion, summon a copy with Rush that dies at the end of the turn. So although Plot Twist kind of feels bad sometimes, like, if you're gaining 4 health after doing it, it's like 4 health is almost worth, like, I mean, it's not worth a card, but like getting a new hand and gaining 4 health is probably worth a card.
Yeah.
And
just being able to dig for your answer is pretty decent. But like I said, if you're in a situation where you have to dig for your answer, I almost would rather have something else than Plot Twist. I would rather have the answer.
Why don't you hold that answer, right? Why don't you put that answer in your deck, right?
Exactly.
Play a second Siphon Soul if you need the Siphon Soul.
Exactly.
But what if Plot Twist is your answer because it lets you gain a lot of life for little amount of mana?
I get it, but at the same time, if you draw that card early, that heal card early, you're not, I don't know. You can put it back in your hand.
That's why you're playing 2 Plot Twists, so you put the Broodmother back in your deck and then you draw it.
I don't know.
But also, no, if you get to the end of the game, right, and you have no cards in your deck, you can Plot Twist and get whatever effects on these cards. So, like, towards the end of the game, it might matter.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I also think it has, like, the combo with Fellord Betrug is fine, but more importantly, there's another card in Warlock. Like, I've been thinking about this deck a lot. There's one, I mean, it does involve the discard mechanic, which, yeah, whatever. Nobody likes that, but there's a card that draws you 3 cards of cards you've discarded this game. So Mind Twist could be like a pseudo card draw instead of a negative card draw if you play cards like that, that just 6 mana draw 3 cards that you discarded, mm-hmm. and then you Plot Twist them away and get cards that aren't those cards. Like, there's potential for it to be really good in that.
You also have the portal cards, right? You have Portal Overfiend and Portal Keeper that put 3 2/2 demon with rush, like, semi cards in your deck, so that when you draw the portal, like, it would go through and summon a demon with rush. So that's an effect as well that you got to keep your mind on. Portal Overfiend and Portal Keeper.
That's true. I didn't think about the portal cards. Those could be really good in mine. Plot Twist. I don't know. I keep calling it Mind Twist because that's a magic card.
Right. I was having the same problem.
But it's Plot Twist. Okay. Yeah. I think this card has a lot of potential. So. Yeah.
No, I'm on the fence. I don't know which way, right? There's 2 sides of the story with this card. So, but I'm excited for it. So we'll see how it goes. The other one I'm excited about is Acorn Bear, the druid, 1 mana, 2 attack, 1 health. Death Rattle of add 2 1/1 squirrels to your hand. I mean, this is the token druid driver, basically. But that's not the reason why I'm excited about it. Like, I don't really care about Token Druid. I'm just excited for squirrels. That's all. I just want squirrels. I just want to see more squirrels. I want to see more squirrels.
More squirrels.
And bigger squirrels.
All right. So next expansion, when there's a squirrel expansion and you get a bunch of squirrels, you're going to be really excited.
Dude, I'm buying like 20 pre-orders if that happens.
You're a simple man. You just want your squirrels and that's it.
Squirrels. Yep.
Squirrels, man. I understand. I feel you. Oh, well, I not really.
I used to, in Magic, I used to play squirrel decks all the time. So just, and I loved playing them because it just annoyed people to just sit there and get like, and I would totally BM everybody that would play because I would just get as many squirrels. I would just get as many squirrels as I can and then play Coat of Arms. And look, all my squirrels are now 60/60s and you only have like 15 health. But it doesn't matter.
Is that a card?
Yeah. So basically, you play, you know, all your squirrels, and you can double the amount of squirrels. Like you played like Parallel Evolution, which would create like a double amount of tokens that you had in play, and you would just sit there and keep. And it had like basically Echo, where you could play it again from the graveyard. I don't remember if it was Echo or it was one of those terms. But you can just play it again. And so you'd end up with, like, you know, 40 squirrels in play, and they're all 1/1s. But then you'd play Coat of Arms, and Coat of Arms would basically say each creature that shares a type of another creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature in play of that type. So if you have 40 squirrels in play, all of your squirrels are now basically 40/40s.
Oh, wow.
So I just had fun doing that. Like, it was a bad deck. It wasn't a good deck. It just annoyed people because you just sit there and just build up all this army of squirrels and they're only at like 15 life, but you have like, you know, you can do like 1600 damage to them or something.
That's that is a thing. Apparently. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I want to see it in Hearthstone. I want to see
the domination of squirrels.
Domination
meta.
Of squirrels. Yep. Squirrel nest.
Squirrel overlords.
Yep. All of those. So that's why I'm excited. But you guys aren't very excited about some of these cards, though. There's some cards. Yeah. I know, Ray, you're not excited about some stuff.
I am very not excited about certain cards. I am scared to death about certain cards. Those cards being, well, the first one is Geppetto Killjoy.
That's not its name.
It is to Ray.
To me. That's what I'm calling it. Geppetto Killjoy is a degenerate combo card that Blizzard should have never printed. I don't even think it might not even be good. It might not even be good, but it's already a card that they shouldn't have printed, in my opinion. It's just gonna, something's gonna happen. This card is gonna be broken. I don't know, hey, but
then you can just play Hecklebot and then heckle heckle your opponent, the ultimate toxic play.
But they're gonna, like, Hecklebot's gonna pull out a big minion. Like, Beto's not gonna combo with like a scrub. It's gonna combo with big boys. And big boys are scary. I'm a big boy. I'm very scary.
No, you're not.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not scary. I'm like a teddy bear or a panda bear. That's
panda bear.
But no, there's just so many scary potential things. Like, it might just be bad, but it scares me. I don't want to think about it. It's going to give me nightmares. And it's going to kill all of my joy.
Yeah, so that was on Danny's, like, excited list, just an FYI.
Yeah. Danny.
It's a different format.
Danny's like, playing wild, and he also doesn't care about my feelings.
That's true. No. That's true.
The other one, you already talked about Archivist Elysia. Like, it's just going to make my Open Cup experience go on for 20 more hours than it normally would, which
I was excited for this card. And, yeah. You know, now that I think about it, ruining your day, it makes me more excited about this card.
Just the thought of me having to sit at my computer for an extra 20 hours in between rounds.
Yeah, now I'm like, I should have put this as like my number one.
I mean, that's...
The card should read, add 20 hours to your Open Cup experience.
We're already encroaching upon the 24-hour, the coveted 24-hour tournament. We've been very close multiple times at DreamHacks, but Open Cup's that I don't think we're ever going to get there. We're at a solid 12 to 15 hours.
This card's going to get you there.
Maybe. I really hope not, but I guess the other one was Arcane Watcher. I don't know. I just, everybody's excited about that card, and I just...
What is Arcane Watcher?
Just yeah, which one is that?
List. It's a 3-mana 5/6 that can't attack unless you have spell power.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
It's just like, I don't know. I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then Secret Paladin. All the Secret Paladin cards are absolutely busted. It's going to be a very good deck. And that,
yeah, that's going to be annoying.
I'm not excited about that.
You're not excited to bring back the Christmas tree?
No, because all the cards, like the cards that are going to give you the secrets, like the new one that I think is very, very good. It's probably one of the best Paladin cards ever printed. Desperate Measures, Twin Spell, cast a random secret, Paladin secret for 1 mana. It's like you can't play around a random secret, and it's just going to be frustrating whether or not they hit that Noble Sacrifice, or if they hit the Redemption, or they're going to be playing the Bell Ringer, so it's going to be like, okay, off of the Battle Cry, they play 4 or 5 different secrets. Which one is it? You don't know. It's not with Mage. It's not right. As frustrating because it's more consistent. Like, you know, it's going to be then, explosive runes or counterspell with Paladin. It's just a smorgasbord. It's all over the place, and they're all good.
And then they're going to trigger them all twice later.
Yeah, like all of them are just insane, and they got a. I'm also jealous. They got a pre-nerfed Fiery War Axe. Like, that's pretty insane.
Yeah. Secret Paladin is the one deck that I've gotten the most online arguments about. Like, I always argue about Pete. I hate that. I despise Secret Paladin.
Are you arguing with people who think it's bad, or it's like...
Well, no, I argue with the people who think it's... So, the big thing that always happened for a long time in Wild was that Secret Paladin would be the top of Vicious Syndicate's tier list. And you would go through and say, essentially, all right, why is this deck? You'd look at the data and say, why is this deck good throughout just the general ranks? And it was because we didn't have that much data for Wild at the time. It was everyone. And the real reason was because you can't screw up playing the deck. You literally cannot screw up playing on curve, whereas some of the other decks, like the average player, like couldn't play optimally, so it would bring the win rates down. And then you go through and you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, I understand that if I play on curve, I win the game. So it just annoyed me because other decks were ranked lower than it. And then people were just going in saying, oh, Secret Paladin is the best deck. And then I said, hey, let's analyze the data. Let's take a look at it. And like, I got into so many arguments about it. And I mean, my arguments were well-founded, and ultimately I won most of them, but it just annoys the crap out of me. And I'm a little bit less frequent commenter now on Reddit. I've opted away from doing that, but
good for you.
It just annoys so the crap out of me.
Oh man,
it's gonna happen again.
I had a really funny tweet like about Reddit. Pokemon tweeted a tweet, the official Pokemon account, about how when a Magnemite becomes a Magneton, it's basically 3 Magnemites that combine together, but instead of getting smarter, they stay like. They don't get any smarter. Like 3 brains combine into 1, but they get no smarter, and they're just equally as dumb as they were before. And I just like quoted it saying Reddit in a nutshell. Just like a gathering of people, and the fact that there's more of them just means that they're just that
like, all the group thick.
It doesn't make them any smarter. Like just because you have a bunch of people in the group thing doesn't mean it makes it smarter. They're still equally as infuriating to listen to or deal with, but I'm not a Reddit person or a message boards person or anything like that. I'm just a Twitter memer. That's all I do.
Just tend to your memes. It's an honest job.
I just tend to my meme crops every day. Water them, give them some nice, good old likes and retweets.
Okay, I need an image of Ray being a meme farmer now. This needs to be a thing that someone needs to come up with.
Oh man, that'd be pretty funny.
Just farming my memes, boys.
I'm just farming these here likes and retweets. Keep my memes nice and healthy. I'm
out here watering my memes.
Okay.
Watching them grow.
What about you guys? What cards did you not like, JR?
Do you want me to go?
No, you go first, JR. You go first.
All right. So the biggest one for me, and I don't really know why, other than it just scares me, is Whirlwind Tempest, and it's the 8-mana 6/6 elemental that your minions with Wind Fury have mega Wind Fury. And all I can see, all I can imagine is situations that's like Force of Nature and Savage Roar. Similar scenario where they're just doing a boatload of damage to you if they're able to get a bunch of Wind Fury minions out. I don't see it happening because, for the most part, because I see it being kind of difficult in standard, and it's probably going to be easier in wild. But I just see a situation where if you're not able to control the board and someone's building up, you know, these Wind Fury minions, that they're just going to stomp you. And it's just going to be like, oh, yeah, cool. This is how I lose. Yeah. This is how I lose.
So this is one of the cards that I really hate in Hearthstone. It's one of the biggest win more cards ever. So when you're playing an aggressive deck against, this is going to be found in wild in very bad even shaman decks. You're going to end, because people play Wind Fury, which is a win more card in even shaman, and it's not a good card. But the thing is that when you're playing an aggro deck and you burn them out, like, you never see this card. But when you're playing a control deck and, like, your opponent is able to stick a minion on the board, then they go through and they play their win more card, and you get really angry. So those are the only situations where, like, if they were playing a more optimal list, you're playing around it correctly. But as soon as they get very, very greedy with their list and you're not playing around it, you get screwed over by it. So, like, this falls into that. Like, you're going to be playing against someone and then they're going to have like a giant stick or something, and you're going to be like, okay, well, I can be a little greedy with my board clear. Next turn, I can clear it all up. And then your opponent plays their incredibly greedy finisher of Wind Fury into Whirlwind Tempest, and you're going to get really, really pissed off. Like, this is going to be one of the cards that pisses me off the most this expansion, just because you're never going to see it in a situation where you're not going to get pissed off. You're not going to be like, oh, that's a cool combo. You're going to be like, this guy is a complete moron putting this in his deck. Like, I'm just really angry. It doesn't give him any win percentage points against most of the meta. It's just the one matchup you got.
Yep. No, that's how I feel. Like, it's like salty card. Like, this can just be named salty card, and that's about
mega
the extent of
salt.
It. And give your opponent mega salt. Yep. That's basically it.
All right.
The other card that I had on here, I just added it because I decided I wanted a second card, is Chef Nomi, the 7-mana 6/6, which has a battle cry of, if your deck is empty, summon 6/6 Greasefire Elementals. Not because I think this card is good, but because that panda is creepy looking, and I think he's the devil, and he's got like fire behind him, and I'm pretty sure that is a plate of burnt squirrels. So it makes me hate him even more.
A plate of burnt squirrels.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, somebody said he was just like, I was streaming or something, and I mentioned, like, I think it was reviewing cards or something, and I talked about when we got to Chef Nomi, I was like, this guy is demonic, and they're like, no, he's just a chef who's really bad at cooking.
No, he's still like, no, he's like the devil. In my opinion.
Wait, like, but in the World of Warcraft lore, is he just a chef who's terrible at cooking?
He's just a chef who's terrible at cooking. But just
look
at that.
I look really dumb.
Just look at that face. Just look at that face, and the fact that he gives you 6/6/6s. I mean, come on. How is this not?
Oh, right. Totally intentional. That's why we thought it was demonic. Yo, I need to make a meme about that. I need to like somehow like put a like demonic eyes onto Chef Nomi. That's Hearthstone conspiracy theory number 3.
Yeah, there you go.
Chef Nomi is secretly the devil.
Secretly the devil. So that's why I'm just, I don't know. I had to throw that in there. I actually don't care about the card, to be honest. I thought it was a funny story.
All right, I'm writing this down, dude. That's another one. That's another one on the docket.
Another one for the Hearthstone conspiracy.
You know, guys, maybe we should make a podcast someday. Because we don't have one yet, and just do it about Hearthstone conspiracy theories.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. I'd listen to that, but yeah. I'd probably be on it, so I wouldn't want to listen to myself. I actually have no idea how people tolerate my voice at all. I feel like
I don't.
Everybody
either.
Hates their voice, though. Oh my god! I mean, good. That's good. Suffer.
No, I'm the same way. Like, even when we used to do videos or any kind of audio, like, I never would watch it, never would listen to it. And people are like, why? And I'm like, why would you? I already know what I said. Why do I need to go back and rewatch it or re-listen? I already know. Why am I going to waste my time?
Facts.
Yep. What about you, Danny? What are your least favorite cards there?
As for me, I think that I just don't like Katrina Morte, just for the simple fact that this is just an addition to Big Priest. This is a fairly good addition to Big Priest, so the deck's already fairly good in the format, and it's really going to push like the ability to tech against different options, which makes the deck more viable as like an archetype in general. Because a lot of the times, Big Priest would go out of the meta because it would be in a bad state where it couldn't take like an aggressive deck, or like it couldn't handle itself against certain control decks. But now you're gonna have more options, and more options means you can tech your deck for the meta better. Mm. And that's more or less why I just don't like Katrina Morte. It's gonna be strong. It's gonna be good. Big Priest is gonna see a rise in popularity because of it.
Yeah, I see this as almost like a Kel'Thuzad in a way, except maybe less annoying than Kel'Thuzad.
Kel'Thuzad wasn't good in Big Priest, but right. I think that the effect is going to be like that
as
well.
Yeah, I'm talking about the effect. I'm not talking about Big Priest. I'm talking about Kel'Thuzad was just an annoying card.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. The other card that I don't really like is Mass Resurrection. This is, when I did my wild card review, my nickname for this card was Noob Bait.
Noob Bait.
Because this card is very bad in Big Priest. This is very similar to the Whirlwind Tempest, where if you're playing an aggro deck, you never see your Big Priest player playing this because you killed them before they're able to play it. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing against someone who's playing a good list, they're never running this card in it. It's like the person, I'm not sure if you guys have played enough wild to see these like really bad Big Priest players, but when they do, they'll put in really bad cards like Lich King or not Lich King, Kel'Thuzad, like you had mentioned before. You'll put in Kel'Thuzad or Emperor Thorison, or cards that are really bad in the matchups, except for the control matchups. Like the really greedy cards that are just so bad. Like, normally you need to rely on your skill to beat those decks, and people just can't do that, I guess. So, I don't know. I feel that Mass Resurrection is going to be that card that your opponent's going to run, and then you're going to be like, wow, this deck is incredibly greedy. I don't like this person for that.
Danny Heike calling out like 90% of the player base, just like, y'all are so bad that you have to play these noob cards in your deck because you're so bad that you can't figure out how to be good.
Well, I mean, that's what it was for the longest time with Big Priest. People were running during like the Wild Open before Concerned Mom posted his list. Like, the Big Priest lists were absolutely abysmal. People running like Shadow Word Horror and Excavated Evil. Like, you're running really bad cards in your deck, and then all of a sudden, like, once a good list comes out, everyone gets a lot better at the list. Like, I don't know. I feel that people don't understand how to build decks in Wild.
Welcome
at certain
to,
degrees.
Hearthstone in general, where majority of the time you're playing against net decks, or you are one of the people who is the net deck creators, which is...
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the cool aspects of the game, though, is the fact that if you do well on ladder, or if you get an accomplishment with a deck that you made, you can then go on a social media platform, post it, and then you kind of become like the leader of your own cult, and your culties or your followers, or whatever you want to call them, are just like all the people playing your deck. But you're like, I don't know, it feels good when people like you play your deck and then they add you and they're like, hey, I net deck you, and I'm like, cool, goodbye.
Yeah, except when the net decks are bad. then I'm just like, oh man,
I'm so sorry.
I like the
that's one of the issues of Wild, where we just don't have enough content creators to put out good stuff that bad stuff circulates.
I like the fact that you call it Noob Bait.
Yeah, Noob Bait is my nickname for Mass Resurrection. Yeah.
And Ray, what do you call the opposite of that?
Noob Bait?
Yeah. Wouldn't you
Pro
be a
bait?
Sure, let's go with that.
Oh, I get it.
Is it a rebate?
It's a
It's this new Masters Cup? The new Masters Qualifier?
Yeah, the Masters Qualifier. So.
Oh my god, JR. That's next level.
Oh my god.
Man. My mind just exploded. I'm done. My brain is exploded. I feel like slowly between me and Danny, like your level of like
my level like of humor become, is like it, going getting down. Better. It's getting worse.
We're starting to corrupt JR.
Well, I don't know if I would call it getting worse. In my opinion, it's getting better.
Yes.
It's just slowly getting more and more dark compared to where it was before. But that to me is that might an improvement. I don't know. That's
yeah.
I might be wrong. Maybe I'm just that's just my personal preference, but slowly we're turning you. Slowly.
The fact is, Ray, I have always been turned. I just tried to be more professional and I just gave up a while ago, I think.
Having us on the show will do that.
I just gave up on that dream.
I am professional. I'm a professional Hearthstone player.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. So what decks are you guys like? We kind of talked about the cards. We kind of talked about the decks a little bit. But if you were to choose one deck to start with tomorrow, what is it going to be?
Big mage, easy, done. Next.
Big mage. He's going right for the Bitcoin mage.
I'm not surprised. I'm excited. Power of Creation, Sun Reaver, War Mage. We still have Blizzard, Flame Strike. We lose Dragon's Fury. But like you still have Blizzard Flamestrike, you have Doomsayer Nova, you have like Ray of Frost, which I think I don't know if I'm gonna play that one yet or not. The one mana twin spell, but you have Khalid Ghost as like a bomb if you want more value.
You have Khadgar, which you probably won't be playing.
You have Khadgar. I mean, I probably won't be playing Khadgar, but I probably will at first just because it's fun. But
yeah,
I don't know, like. I just think there's still a lot of people are sleeping on a control big mage thingy.
My plan is are you planning on streaming tomorrow, Ray?
Yeah.
Okay, my plan is to watch your stream and to try to queue up against you. I'm just gonna play Secret Paladin. That's my plan.
So quick question, JR. Are you legend right now or am I not gonna queue into you?
You're not gonna queue into me.
After JR plays 10 Secret Paladin games, he'll be legend.
Yeah, I just gotta grind there.
Eventually.
I'll do that tonight.
You'll be able to play me.
I'll do that tonight. I'll grind there from my rank 12.
Give Rexxar a good farewell.
I haven't played at all this month yet, so I need to. The reason why I was out last week, I was like gone basically all week last week. I haven't had a chance to play Hearthstone really at all. Got to open up my packs. That's about it. So I need to rank up. Need to catch up to Ray so I can queue up against him.
Hey man, if you do it, that's more power to you.
Danny, what are you gonna play?
Okay, so you're gonna have to bear with me for a second.
All right.
There is a new deck that is an old deck that I'm gonna bring back, and I've already posted about this on Twitter.
Is it called Big Mage?
So no,
is it called Secret Mage?
It's kind of like when I played Freeze Mage and JR made fun of me.
Oh yeah, it was Freeze Mage. Was it called Freeze Mage?
Yeah.
I created this whole new archetype, Freeze Mage. Okay, sorry. Continue with your story.
No, Dan. No worries. So, I posted on Twitter earlier today that I'm going to bring a busted deck into the meta, and then I said that this card is going to be running it, and I posted North Sea Kraken. Kraken. Well, it's Krakalakken. So the deck is going to be running Geppetto Joybuzz, and Kraken is a 9-mana minion, and the 10-mana minions are Aviana and Coon. And then you run Juicy Psychmelon, and then you play the card that got Aviana nerfed, Starliner, and then you have Starliner Druid again. Starliner Druid's going to be back, and I think that Geppetto pushes it over the edge.
Why is Starliner Druid going to be at? Because of Geppetto?
Because of Geppetto, because Geppetto can hit Aviana, it can hit one of the Starliners. Like, it's going to be able to... Geppetto is going to be really good. There's a little bit of intricacy in the deck, because you can't have it hit both Coon and a Starliner, because then you can't combo off. But if you that means you need to Psychmelon first. So if you Psychmelon first before you play your Geppetto, you're going to be able to get it off. You're going to be able to get it off. And then you're going to have to run an Innervate. But I've been playing enough Auctioneer Tog Druid to realize that running Innervates in a combo deck is not that bad. So I think that you're still gonna have to run Innervates, but essentially what I think Geppetto is gonna be in Wild is it's gonna be a combo deck, like it's like a high roll for a combo deck, just like in Paladin right now we have Thakal into Molten Giant, which will just win you the game. Mm-hmm. I think that Geppetto has the same role in combo decks, where if you hit your Geppetto and you're able to get it on the right minions, you just win the game. Yeah. So I think that that's really the type of deck that Geppetto is going to find itself in Wild. So mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to be experimenting around with first. Might be a bust, but I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah. You know what that sounds like to me, though, Danny? That sounds like a deck that someone from Portsmouth would play.
Oh, my God. Portsmouth, man.
Just say Worcester.
you're from the town that likes to eat ass, okay?
What? Kansas City, town of the ass eaters.
That's nothing. What? That's nothing to do with nothing. Where did that come from?
Do you remember that sign that you like?
There was nothing about that. And
wasn't that Kansas?
Yes,
for Kansas City, right?
It was something similar. That had nothing to do with eating, by the way. We'll just leave it at that, because we're crossing the line at that point, guys.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Maybe I was just projecting a little bit.
A little bit. Oh, my God.
What about you, JR? Are you actually going to play Secret Paladin, or...
You know what? I don't really know yet what I'm going to play. I might go to my go-to on what I end up playing at the beginning of every set almost, is I try to make Zulok work, and that will probably be what I do, which I don't know if it's going to be that good. I'll play around with it and play around with plot twists and see what I can, maybe see what I can get going. I like your idea. Like, I didn't like the card until you kind of explained it a little bit earlier on how it could potentially work with Zulok, and that's that magic carpet. Might play mm-hmm. around with that and see. That's actually a good idea. So probably do some stuff with there, but I'm not going to do anything too exciting. I like to farm my wins with just trying to play aggro the first couple days, and then
that's the best way to do it. If you're trying to gain ranks, like, that's definitely what you want to do.
Yeah.
You want to play aggro decks that, because if an aggro deck's unrefined, like, that's fine. If the control decks typically take a lot longer to figure out what you need to be running for threat elimination before the threats are good.
And here's what I like doing, is I just like going in and playing aggro the first couple days, just to kind of get a feel of where the meta's at and where things are going, and just kind of see what other people are playing, because I'm not that creative at this game. So I'll just play something stupid, and like I'm one of those guys that goes for the noob bait cards. I'm not a master like you guys are, so
yeah, we fall for the
all right, well, we got an email this week, right?
No, we did not get an email. What are you talking about?
Oh wait,
we just should probably get out of here though. We did not get an email. We might have, and I just forgot to go look. We got something else.
I think that's what I was talking about.
Right. But if you would like to email us, just it's wallmat@blizzpro.com. And now that like card reveal season's over and all of that, email us and we'll answer stuff on the show for sure. So email us, tweet at us, stuff like that. And Patreon, we had a new patron this week, Solar Tarkin. I think he rejoined. He was a patron for a while, scaled things back a bit, and then he came back. So thanks again, Solar Tarkin, for joining our patron this month. If you'd like to be a patron, just head over to patreon.com/wallmatpodcast. $2 gets you our early access show. I think this show we have like 30 minutes extra that our patrons are going to get. It's a little more off-colored, I think, during those shows because we kind of BS a lot more than what we do on the regular show, for sure. Along with Ray's special BM report at the end of the show. Which seems to be the highlight of everybody for some reason. I don't know why.
But I don't understand it, but I accept it.
Yeah, I accept
it. Own it up.
For sure. You know, and there's some other tiers on there. Like, I think $25 gets you coaching if you want something like that. I'm going to try to revamp the page. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to try to revamp it a little bit. And we've got some ideas. We're going to probably run some kind of a tournament here in the near future. I just need to sit down this week and just get everything done. So hopefully I have some time away from work this week that I can do that. Because that has been my biggest problem. We did have an iTunes review this week, and I think that's what Ray was talking about. If you'd like to leave a 5-star review, though, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone when you're searching for podcasts. You'll find us there. Leave a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the show. And we got one from, I'm having a trouble. Sorry, my computer's being really weird on me at the moment. Okay, there it is. Pod Beach. Man, this name, it's like Pod Beach Odifamster, I think is the name. It's spelled really weird. Anyway, he said, I saw Ray C at a grocery store in Los Angeles yesterday. I told him how cool it was to meet in person. You know what? I'm going to change the music. We need to read this with this music, by the way. So I saw Ray C at a grocery store in Los Angeles yesterday. I told him how cool it was to meet him in person, but I didn't want to be a douche and bother him and ask him for photos or anything. He said, "Oh, like you're doing now?" I was taken aback, and all I could say was, "Huh?" But he kept cutting me off and going, "Huh, huh, huh?" and closing his hand shut in front of my face. I walked away and continued with my shopping. I heard him chuckle as I walked off. When I came to pay for my stuff up front, I saw him trying to walk out the doors with like 15 Milky Ways in his hands without paying. The girl at the counter was very nice about it and professional. I was like, "Sir, you need to pay for those first." At first, he kept pretending to be tired or not even hear her, but eventually turned back around and brought them to the counter. When she took one of the bars and started scanning it multiple times, he stopped her and told her to scan each one of them individually to prevent any electrical interference, and then turned around and winked at me. I don't even think that's a word. After she scanned each bar and put them in a bag and started to say the price, he kept interrupting her by yawning really loudly.
What?
That's it.
That's the best copy pasta ever.
What?
You've never read this copypasta before? It's great. I love it.
It's so good.
I see it every once in a while. It's so good. It's so good. I'm so glad that someone made that for Ray.
I hope it was at least a 5-star review.
It was. It was totally a 5-star review. It was a 5-star review titled Disappointed. Obviously, because of meeting you.
I apologize for doing that at the grocery store in L.A. Whenever that was in March, didn't mean to, buddy, but I told you not to ask for pictures, I guess. Okay. Okay.
Shout out.
Like, the most believable part about that was the Milky Ways.
The Milky Ways is great. Just walking out with like 15 Milky Ways.
Seems like a Ray thing, for sure. Walking out the store with 15 Milky Ways. Just yawning loudly. Anyway. Shout outs, and how can people get in touch with you? Ray, do you have any shout outs? How can people get in touch with you?
Shout outs to that person who gave the show that 5-star review.
So good.
Never asked me for another picture again, though, or I'm going to punch you in the face like I did with Danny this weekend.
Yep. I said GG early.
Oh, man.
That'll teach you. You can find me on twitch.tv/racy591 and on Twitter at pg_racy. I will be streaming tomorrow, or I guess today, whenever you're listening, the new expansion. Hopefully I'll be consistent this week, and yeah, I'm just excited.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
What about you, Danny?
My shout out this week is going to be the sixth villain in the League of Evil, Bobby Cockface. Sure. Yeah, that's about it. You can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
I gotta give a shout out to our iTunes reviewer because that was amazing.
That was really good.
That was so good. They can't top that. I'm gonna give next week's shout out to whoever can give me a picture of Ray farming memes, and ooh, not the terrible one that Danny put in our Discord.
That one's a great one. That one's a good one.
Not that one.
I'm responding to the next meme that Ray puts out with this.
So in about 5 minutes. All right. As for me, you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. I wouldn't follow me. I've been told I'm boring on Twitter, and it's probably true. So I would instead go follow these two. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 193 over at Well... what the heck am I saying? Thanks for joining us for episode 193 of Well Met. Not over at Well Met. What the heck? You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMetBlizzPro.com. Comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. And also, go find us over on Discord, over at discord.gg/WellMetPodcast, as lots of people have been talking there lately, deck ideas and everything. It's going to explode even more as this new set comes out tomorrow. So definitely come check us out over on Discord and talk to us. We're pretty active over there. Thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.